My next guest is Rabbi Michael Katz of Chabad Ilovo. Tomorrow is Yom Kippur, probably recognized universally amongst Jews as the holiest day of the year. I thought let's touch base with somebody who knows more than I do and chat about Yom Kippur. Rabbi Michael Katz, thanks for talking to me on the Home Run this afternoon.
It's a pleasure to be with you, and good afternoon to all the listeners.
So Yom Kippur is often called the holiest day of the year. In a couple of sentences, why?
It's a day of atonement. Now, just if you think about that word, atonement can mean many things. To atone, to ask for forgiveness, to come back better than we were before, or at one moment, at a time when we really believe that we as Jews are coupled together in a real intimate relationship with God, and that really comes to fruition on Yom Kippur. It's the time when we're closest to God, closest to each other, and really at one with ourselves and with God and the world around us.
So if someone hasn't been to shul for a while, what's the reason that you would tell them to show up tomorrow?
First of all, it's tomorrow night and the next day. Let's not have people panicking and thinking that they missed Yom Kippur and that they've got to pass tomorrow.
It's always difficult when it's the 24-hour.
Yeah. Tomorrow night. Okay, so first of all, the fact of the matter is that there are probably nicer occasions to be in shul. Yom Kippur is long, and it's you're fasting, and it's quite drawn out. We do things a lot better, like on Simchat Torah or Purim, where it's much more joyous and you come for festivities. But people relate, I think, to the idea that on Yom Kippur there's this sort of introspection, this idea of stripping away everything from the outside, being exactly who I am, hopefully. And really, honestly, you can fast and you can keep Yom Kippur perfectly at home or in your garden or anywhere else where it is the same from the perspective of the fact that you can be at one with God. But in the atmosphere that's created in shul, in the services that we have, hopefully encourage people down that path of feeling closer to God and closer to community, and not distracted by things out there, beautiful scenery, which might be very pleasant, but the idea of really being able to focus on some of the words that are said in our beautiful prayers, in our liturgy, and so on. Hopefully it helps one connect and be a little bit closer than anywhere else.
You know, I should probably say absolutely nothing about these issues because I know nothing about them. But it just strikes me as you're talking, I'm thinking about that old adage that they say, it's not that the Jews keep Shabbat, it's that Shabbat keeps the Jews. And I'm thinking it's got to be a really close second, the feeling that one has in a shul on Yom Kippur, no matter how religious or how irreligious you are, there's something intangible that is just there.
Absolutely, absolutely. And as the day progresses, where one becomes, you know, part of Simon, I think part of the idea of not eating and drinking and sort of there's a tradition to dress in white and so on, it's to try and paint ourselves or to feel ourselves as being angelic, being like the angels. angels close to God, stripped away of kind of our earthly contacts. And as the day progresses, we become more involved in that kind of a frame of reference and a mindset and a soul set. And as we lead up to Ne'ilah at the end of Yom Kippur, you know, while everybody jokes about the fact that, you know, like we're looking forward to eating and that's why it really feels good, but there is something special, as you correctly said, no matter where you are or who you are, in any shul, anywhere in the world, at that time, Ne'ilah time, end of Yom Kippur, as it gets to that crescendo and before we hear the sound of the shofar, there is something really, really profoundly touching and spiritual that I think everybody feels.
Just because, as you know as well as I, that many of our listeners are not Jewish, I just want to translate that word. Ne'ilah is to lock. It's a Hebrew word for to lock. It's when the gates are closing and they are closed, so your fate is sealed. And when you've been fasting for 24 hours and you've reached the ending of the afternoon and this, you're approaching this time where your fate is going to be sealed, the doors are going to be locked. It really is a remarkable, remarkable experience to be part of a community going through something like that.
And if I could just add a word there, many people look at it as the fact that the gates are going to be locked and I might be on the outside. From a Jewish, from a Hasidic point of view,
yeah.
We're at the time of Ne'ilah, we're locked in to a private, private audience, a private chamber with God Almighty. It's rather in Ne'ilah that we're locked in to that privacy rather than that we have the chance of being locked out.
Rabbi, talk to me about your personal experiences. Tell me a moment where at Chabad Ilova you've had a moment that's given you goosebumps or moved you.
I think, and I was actually just discussing with somebody in our community yesterday. I have to say, honestly, that I look forward to Yom Kippur immensely. It's a and therefore to isolate one particular thing is difficult for me. Every Yom Kippur has a deep, special feeling about it. And if one allows oneself to get away from the fact that, you know, honestly, I personally know Howard had a comment today about, you know, he hates the people who say they fast easily. Fasting doesn't bother you if you're focused on where you should be spiritually. You kind of can get your nourishment and your nurture from things that are above the physical, above the steaks and chips and Coca-Colas. You really can. And if one has the ability just for that 24-hour period, and especially as it gets closer towards the end, to kind of think about and put your headspace around the specialness of the occasion, I think anybody and everybody can tune into that. And so therefore, if I can't isolate one, I can tell you I've been going at it for many years in our particular community. And to me, honestly, each one is better than the one before.
So Yom Kippur is all about forgiveness. And I'm just wondering, have you ever come across somebody who feels disconnected or unworthy of forgiveness? And what would you say to them?
I'm not sure if I understand that you feel that you can't forgive them or that they don't feel
worthy. No, about somebody who doesn't feel worthy. Yes, exactly.
That they don't feel worthy of being forgiven by God.
Yes.
Haven't really come across that. I think the majority of us do have at least a little bit of self-worth that we can feel that we're worthy of forgiveness. And we've got to try and get that through to everybody. Everybody is worthy of forgiveness. Everybody is God's precious child. And which father or mother doesn't love their child enough to say, I forgive you for whatever you've done? And we believe that about God too. And therefore, to encourage people that it's a moment and a time that we can be forgiven and we can forgive. You know, very often the first thing that you've got to do actually is to forgive yourself. And when you can do that, it encourages God that he can do it too.
I've got two more questions for you. The first is, if you were to share, I don't really want to call it a blessing, rather perhaps an intention or a wish for our listeners as they head into the fast, what would that be?
What it would be is that this is the time, really, if we think about it, we go back in history, this is the time that God really forgave us. He forgave us for worshipping the golden calf, because it was on Yom Kippur that Moses came down the mountain with the second set of tablets. And the sign was that God had now accepted us, forgiven us. And we stood there on that first Yom Kippur in the desert as classic returnees, Balei Tshuva. We had come back and we were back to where we should be. God had completely forgiven us. So let's forgive ourselves. Let's enable God to forgive us at the same time. And let's ensure that we have the best possible year ahead. A blessing to everybody that we should have a year that's filled with health, happiness, peace in the world. Of course, the return of the hostages. And of course, that everything in the world should be as beautiful and as pristine and as wonderful as I think God intended it to be. And hopefully we can help to accomplish that in this year.
I'm going to end this on a very light note. How do you break your fast?
Oh, that's a difficult question. I usually make havdalah. I usually make havdalah in shuls. I break it on grape juice or wine. But I have found, and people might think it's strange.
Yes.
And you know, a little l'chaim after a fast actually goes down very well.
How fantastic. I know which shul I need to attend. Rabbi Katz, Rabbi Chabad Yelav, Gemar Chatima Tova.